What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That's a good question. That's a long verse. I'll probably just do half of it. No point in going all the way. Now, this is one section I need to talk about. Can faith save him? And we're going to introduce this with an overview of the passage, because this is probably one of the most controversial passages in the whole Bible. People misuse this, and we want to try to straighten it out, but it's going to take some doing, and I'm going to give a little introduction to the passage, that is to chapter 2, from 14 to 26. It's important, probably one of the most important and controversial and misunderstood passages in the Bible. The key words here are faith and works. They're used together 10 times in these 13 verses. 10 times. James does say that we are saved by faith and works. Yeah, saved by faith and works. Now, can faith alone save? No. It can't. Don't rush up here and throw me out of the pulpit. No, it's true. James is saying, no, faith cannot save by itself. We'll get to that. But many use this as an argument that you have to have faith and works in order to be justified. Ah, different story. Do you have to have faith and works in order to get to heaven? No, you do not. But salvation has many tenses. James is talking here about the salvation, which is progressive salvation, salvation in the Christian life. Once you believe, you have eternal life. We'll see that. But after you believe, then you need works in order to be sanctified or to be useful in the Lord's work. So the problem is people don't understand the difference between those two things, justification and sanctification. Justification and serving the Lord with works. Now, holiness groups, old-time Pentecostals, Wesleyan Methodists, of which I was a member at one time, Roman Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Lutherans, and many others. They say he's talking here about salvation, about justification. And if you believe, you have eternal life. Oh no, but you have to have works too. And that's what James is saying. See, Jesus said one thing, and then James adds to that here. James is saying, oh, but you have to have works. And if you don't believe, and if you don't have works, you don't have salvation. What they're doing is front-loading the gospel. You have to believe and have works in order to get saved. That's front-loading. Now, we also have another way of approaching this is the Reformed view. The Reformed and other lordship groups say you must have works or you never were saved. Oh, they preach, oh, salvation is by grace through faith. That's it. But then later on they'll tell you, oh, you're not living like you're supposed to be living. You don't have the works of salvation. So therefore, you're not saved. You never were saved, because faith that is really faith will work. One of them has written a book, Faith Works. Well, sorry about that. They're in the wrong department. The salvation department doesn't have that, but they're backloading the gospel. Oh yeah, you get saved, faith. But you have to have these works that come in there too. See, that's the idea. So that's the controversy of the passage. But then there's the importance of context. We have to look at the larger context that James is talking about. In chapter 1:19 through 2:26 is a unit in James. And he says in 19 to 27, be doers of the word and not hearers only. He also says in chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. So, conclusion from context, that is, what's James saying? James is not trying to show how a person gets saved. He's trying to show how believers ought to work, how believers ought to live. And he says, if you don't have works, then your faith is dead. We'll see that in a minute. Now, the way we approach this passage is this. I'm following two people, maybe three. T. Cairns, C-A-R-N-E-S, has this kind of an outline. But the best book I've found on the book of James, are you ready? Zane Hodges. Excellent book. If you'll follow him, you'll understand that James is not talking about justification. He's talking about sanctification. But those two, especially. The theme and outline. The theme first. His theme is, faith without works is dead. You can't miss that in these verses. Verse 17, he says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now notice what he does not say. He does not say that the person is dead. He says his faith is dead. Big difference. He also says, verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Are we ready to understand that theme yet? Verse 25 says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? Oh my, this is justification. She was justified by works. And she received the messengers and sent them away another way. So I'll get to that. The outline is then is this. The thesis is introduced. That's from T. Cairns. Thesis is illustrated, 15 and 17. The thesis is attacked, 18 and 19. And the thesis is proved, 20 through 26. All right, that's the introduction. That's the framework we need to see the passage and see what James is saying in verse 14. All right, the thesis is introduced. This is our section for today. We're into the text now. The thesis is stated, there is no profit to faith without good works. No profit. Now, what do you mean, faith? What do you mean, works? Well, the terms are defined. Faith, Hebrews 11:1 gives us the best definition, I believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It gives us confidence to believe God's promises. That's our confidence in whatever God promises us. We have confidence in Him by faith. Then, the object of that faith is God's Word. Please do not talk to people about some scriptural thing, some theology, some meaning of a verse, without looking at the verse. We prove things by God's Word. You know, you always have to have a criterion of truth. If Jim wants to show someone is one and one is two, he uses one and one cannot be three. Well, if someone says you have to have works in order to be saved, say, wait a minute. The Bible says, that's it. That's our criterion of truth. You can't say, well, I knew a man one time who had faith. He was teaching in the Sunday school and working hard, and now he's not doing anything. See? Who cares? You know, I care about the man, but who cares about the experience? It doesn't prove a thing. What proves it is the Word of God. See? That's what I'm saying here. So, faith, object is God's Word. And every promise that God makes to you and me requires faith. From salvation to daily bread to appearance in heaven, all of that requires faith. Now, it's also the evidence of things not seen. We believe in things we have not seen outside of the world. We believe in angels. You believe in angels? I asked that question one time up in Delaware. Guy raised his hand. I've seen angels. Okay, talk to me later. The end of the world, angels, heaven, you believe heaven? See? Now, we all are people, they were there and they wrote a book and all that kind of stuff, nonsense. Paul was there and God says, you can't talk about it. These other people go and they write books about it, make money about it, you know. We believe that by faith. And we believe about things in the world. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. God is in you. Wow. You believe that? Sure. Why do you believe it? The Bible says so. That's how I know. I don't have this feeling. Oh, I know if I do this and this and this and this, then I know. You know it because God's word says it. That's what it is. Well, that's things here. Now, angels? Yeah, I believe in angels. Why? Because God's word says so. So I believe it. And that settles it for me. It doesn't make it true because I believe it. But it doesn't do me any good unless I do believe it. The Holy Spirit is in me. I depend upon Him. I talk to Jesus all the time. He's right here with me. Right? True. I talk to Him. What do you think? What shall I do? That doesn't take the place of prayer as I do things. It's not that. But all the time, He's there. It's great. Now, because I believe it, that settles it for me. The Word says it, and that settles it for everybody. So, faith, then, is needed to enter the Christian life. We understand that. John 3:16, you believe, you have eternal life. If you believe, you have life. If you don't believe, you have the wrath of God abiding on you, and you don't have life. It's needed also to live the Christian life. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he who comes to God must believe that he exists. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you're going to believe God, if you have faith in God, you must believe he exists. That makes sense. And you have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. There's more to it than just, oh, he believes he exists, I believe. No, we're all together. I believe I have eternal life, and he rewards me because of my faithfulness. So, I believe that too. That's faith. Then there are works. Two kinds of works. There are unbelievers' works. Works done in an attempt to earn eternal life. Galatians 2:16 says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Those works are bad. If you try to say, I'm going to work to get my eternal life, wrong. I'm sorry, I heard a man preaching last night, a very famous man, and if he didn't mangle the gospel, I don't know what he did. Awful. Couldn't believe it. I admire the man greatly, but he didn't have the gospel right because he had works in there. He had four things you have to do in order to be saved, and he named them all. Number one, number two. No, not there. Works are not involved in our Christian life. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it, that is salvation, is the gift of God, not of works. If you have works in there, it'd be bad. Because works for salvation are bad. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. See? Not by works. It's wrong. So when speaking of unbelievers' works, it's a negative connotation. No, have no works in order to be saved. Get that out of there. That's negative. But there are works in the believer's life. The believer's works are done as an expression of his faith. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's good. Believer's works are good for the Christian life. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of salvation. Titus 3:8. This is the faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And one passage has both of these kinds of works together. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10. I'll go through it again. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, that is salvation, justification, is the gift of God. Not of works. Get works out of there. But look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Do you see the difference? There are good works. Good works are great if you put them in their place. These are works that God has prepared for those beforehand that we should walk in them. You see that? Beforehand, he prepared good works that we should walk in them, not that we should have the good works in order to walk in them. No, not that. Now, if there are two different kinds of works, how do we know what James is doing? Wonder how you do that. Oh, I know. Context. That's it. Context. We have to know what is he doing. What is James talking about here? Well, we'll see. In which sense, then, is James using the word works here? Not unbelievers' works. Now, how do I know that? He calls them brothers 15 times. I read that in a commentary, and I said, oh, no, couldn't be. So I have the Bible on my computer, you know, and I went through and I painted yellow every place of believers, all the way through the book of James. Yeah, brothers. 15 times. It's true. He calls these people brothers. Do you think he's telling them how to be saved? Of course not. He's telling these brothers how to have works that please God and helps them in their Christian life. So, look at his examples. He says, to help a brother or sister in need is a good work. Whoever sees his brother in need and does not help him, how does that help? You know, that's what he's saying. So, he's saying, no. One good thing all of us need to do is to help our brothers. That's a work that I can recommend to you. A work that you must do in order to please the Lord. Help each other. Oh, you don't know what he did. You don't know what she did. God knows what she did and he did. You need to help that person. Oh, that person does something. You know what he does out there? Right? Help that person. See? Because that is what a Christian work ought to be. Now, you sure he's talking about believers? You want believers to help these brothers or sisters? A thought occurred to me. You probably thought of it all the time. I never thought of this. In order to have a brother or sister, you have to be a brother or sister. Yeah. You people who, first ones in the family. When you were born, Melanie's first one in her family. For two or three years, she was the only one. She didn't have brother or sister. She was not a brother or sister. She was not a sister until Billy was born. Then she became a sister. So if he says, help your brothers and sisters, that means you are a brother or sister. Not so profound, but it sneaked up on me. And I had to tell Suzanne about it. So, help your brother and sister, brothers, sisters. Then he uses Abraham, too, as an illustration. He says, Abraham offered up his son. This is verse 21, chapter 2. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted to him for righteousness. Oh, my. He believed the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. He's talking about Abraham offered up his son. I'm sorry, let me back up a little bit. Abraham offered up his son. That's the illustration he uses in verse 21. Now, my point is, 25 years, maybe 20 years, prior to that, Genesis 15, 6, then here's that verse. Abraham was a believer 20 years before that. He believed the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. Now, I told Ray this morning, I found a verse that I love in this respect. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2 says this, speaking about Abraham and works for salvation. He says, If Abraham was justified by works, then he has something of which to boast. Next words. But not before the Lord. Abraham was justified by works, but not before the Lord. How is he justified before the Lord? By faith. He believed God. God counted him for righteousness. He got saved. He got his salvation when he believed. 20 years later, was ready to offer up his son, and he was justified there, says James, the word of God. How is that true? Not before God, Romans 4:2. No, he was justified before men. See, he's using the same example Paul used. Paul says Abraham was justified by faith. James says he was justified by works. Man, how can that be? Oh, I know. He was justified before men by works. See? He's using this thing. Look, Abraham justified by work. When? When he offered up his son. That means, who's going to know that? Now we know that. So he's using that as an illustration. He's justified by works in his Christian life. I wouldn't call it Christian in the Old Testament, but in his life with the Lord, for the Lord, he believed it. So, there has to be then another kind of justification. Rahab. Rahab was a believer, Joshua 2. Remember her? The spies went out into the land. Joshua sent them out into the land, and they went into Jericho. They went into Jericho. There was this prostitute, Rahab, and she hid them. Because they were in her house, which was on the wall. She hid them. When they knocked on the door, hey, who's in there? She put them out, she put the things over top of them so they couldn't see them. See, at any time, she could have sold them out. She said to them, we've heard about what your God did. We believe on him. Yeah, I do. I believe on him. She was justified before God. Before anything ever happened. But those men didn't know whether she was telling the truth or not. How did they know she was justified? When she hid them on the roof, and not even then. Because when you open the door, oh, they're not here. Look, see, nobody here. Just me. She could have said to them, hey, they're there. Go get them. Didn't do it. They didn't know that she was justified. She wasn't justified before them until she sent them away the other way, out there, so they can go back another way to Joshua. That's how they knew. They knew she was justified. So there's justification then before God, not by works. There is justification before men by works. Do you know that there's a justification by works? There's a justification by faith. There's a justification by works. But there is no such thing in any part of Scripture that says you're justified by faith and works. Two different justifications, one by faith, one by works. But no justification by faith and works doesn't exist. That's it. I love that. Because now we know that James is not talking about justification before God. He's talking about justification before men. Can faith alone save? Yes, says Paul. He's talking about justification before God. James says, no way. Faith and works must go together. Why? Well, because you can't please God without those works. There is a justification by faith before God and by works before men. Boy, once we get a hold of that, we got James whipped. We understand him. Now, how many of you have ever hidden the spies on your roof? How many have taken a knife and put it before your son, I'm going to kill you? Yeah, those are fine examples for the Bible. They're not examples for your life, so I have to add some. to the way we serve the Lord. Giving. Yeah, we give. I'm a little late for this thing, but looks pretty good here. A lot of envelopes. We serve the Lord by giving to His work. The work can't go without it. We do that. Have I ever told you you have to in order to be saved? No. Have I ever told you you have to give so much? No. Because the Bible doesn't say that. But we give to the Lord, and we serve the Lord in that way, and we are doing that work for the Lord. Now, Bible reading, Bible study. I'm not saying to you, if you don't study your Bible, you're going to lose your salvation. I heard that all my life as a kid, up until when I got out of the church, because I couldn't do it. You can't do that. That's not it. Bible reading and Bible study are necessary for serving the Lord. It's a work that we do in our Christian life. We must have that. Prayer. If you don't pray, you're not going to go to heaven. No, no, no. But being a believer, being justified before God, now you need to pray. We all need to pray. Pray always, Paul says. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking to Jesus. Holy Spirit. Now, that's always in a prayer attitude. But we need to pray also. We need to set a time. I want to pray. It's the life-giving air that we breathe. Prayer. Witnessing. Telling people about the Lord. I don't get much chance. I would have, but I didn't have a track with me. Have one. One time I didn't, just last week, had an opportunity to talk to a person and did not leave him with a tract. I forget now where it was, but I remember that. Just forgot it. Be ready. Always be ready. Do not leave that house without your tracks. That is the work that we must do in our Christian lives. Loving and helping one another. Works of help to each other. We are a family. I'm going to say it more and more and more. We're a family. We love each other. Every one of us loves everyone else. And before we leave here, we're going to be saying, when I pray, I'll pray for you. When you pray, will you pray for me? See? That's what it's about. Being a part of the household of God, being a part of the family, and loving and serving one another. That's a good work for the Christian life. Now, the profit of good works of the believer. It's spiritual advancement and growth. What we get? Spiritual advancement and growth in ourselves. We help somebody else and we get the growth. We get the help. The help bounces back at us. Did you hear David Jeremiah this morning talking about loneliness? He had a great sermon. And his point was, if you are lonely, go find somebody else that's lonely and help them. And then you won't be lonely. I love it. And it's true of all the things. I'm depressed. Go find someone else who's depressed. Help them out. And in the helping of them, you'll help yourself. So, spiritual advancement and growth. Then, Titus 3:8 says this. Be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. It's good to others to help. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself to godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. And some of us can use some of that, some of you. But we can use bodily exercise. But he says that profits a little, but godliness is profitable in all things. Having the promise of life that is now, godliness brings some benefit to me here and now. and of that which is to come. Wow. The works that we do, serving the Lord, serving each other, prayer, evangelism, all of that is good, having a promise for the life that is now. It's good for us now to do these things. It's also good in the life to come. We need to focus on the physical, but we also need to exercise spiritually, because faith without works is not only profitless, it is dead. Faith is dead. Not you, faith. And it's worthless to us. It's worthless to those around us. And worst of all, it's worthless to God, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. John Ortberg said, if you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. Pretty simple. So you may think, I'm already too busy to do all these things. I don't have time to do those things. Well, you know what Jesus said about that? He says to the Pharisees, you ought to have done those things that you've been doing, but you also don't leave these other things undone. You're doing some good things. You're busy. You're doing good things for the Lord even. But you're not doing the things that the scripture tells us to do. Do those. And don't leave those other things undone. There are some things you can drop out of your life. Well, if you want to serve the Lord, you have to do some things and take the time away from the other things that are not the things. Let me paraphrase Ortberg. We need to get out of our comfort zones and take a chance for God. And when we get there, we'll find it wasn't a chance at all. Faith must have works, because faith without works cannot save in the Christian life.